You are listening to Powder Radio. Brought to you by Powder Magazine.
Welcome to Sponsored, brought to you by Powder Radio. I'm your host, Mike Powell, and this week on the program, we have Lexi DuPont from the world-famous DuPont family. And we are going to talk to Lexi about her ski career, about how being a part of the DuPont family has impacted that. And we're going to talk to her about what she's got planned for the future and a whole lot more. So sit back and let's talk to Lexi DuPont. All right, Lexi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well. You've got quite the shiner there.
Oh, yeah. Wait, can you see me right now?
I did see you when you first called. I turned off the audio, as a lot of people call me naked or get naked throughout the call, and it makes it tough for me to get through.
Yeah, I got quite the shiner. I got a big old black eye at the moment.
And the story behind it?
Got in a pillow fight, you know, Revelstoke. Got some really big pillows and some flat landings in places, and just put my knee in my face off a nice little drop on the resort.
That's where you are right now, is Revy, right?
Yep. The land of 1,000 pillows. This is the zone.
Yeah, some of those pictures you've been posting are pretty phenomenal.
Thanks.
And what has your season been like so far? It looks like you've traveled a lot. And where have you been?
Well, I was up here in Revelstoke doing some trips, like avalanche courses with a bunch of kids up here with Kapow, Canadian Powder Guiding. This place called the Blanket Glacier Chalet, and Marty Schaefer runs it. He's a local Revelstoke hero. So we took a bunch of kids up there at the beginning of the season. And then I went home through a pretty fun New Year's party, just invited a bunch of friends on Facebook, and it sold out in like 3 days. And we had almost 300 people at this awesome bar in Ketchum in Sun Valley.
Nice.
Yeah, I came back here again. So mostly just Canada and the U.S. Didn't make the journey to Japan this year just because the snow has been plentiful on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal year. Probably the best year that I can remember in like a decade, it seems like.
I know, it's so rad, isn't it? It's like the Stoke is back.
The trade show's this week, and it'll be interesting to see the vibe of the show, as I'm sure everybody will be in a much better mood than they've been in past years.
Some more sales, some more action. I mean, in Sun Valley, people are skiing things that, like, I didn't even know existed.
And I think that's the whole West Coast.
And they're inbounds.
Yeah, it's amazing. Before I even get into your skiing, your name is Lexi DuPont, and you come from the DuPont family. And that creates a lot of opportunities that we're going to talk about through this interview. So I just wanted to preface it with that.
Okay, good. Prep me for it. Okay.
With your family, your mom was a sponsored skier back in the day.
Yeah, she was an old K2 performer. So keeping those K2, the lineage strong, that's for sure.
Yeah, and she was the first woman to do a backflip on skis.
Yeah, in competition. So yeah, she was a performer for K2, and in their off season, they'd travel around the country with this little truck that a jump would fold out of the back of it. And they'd go to Disneyland and SeaWorld, and they'd put on these aerial shows in the parking lot and like make a bunch of cash so that they could support their ski addiction throughout the winter.
And those were the total party days as well. So I'm sure she had an amazing time traveling the country and world.
Oh, yeah. She was with Barrymore Films, and her name was Mama Shred. So we bring that out every once in a while, Mama Shred. When you're called Mama Shred at like the age of your late teens, early 20s, it's probably going to stick for life.
Yeah, and that's not the greatest nickname, but it's not terrible at the same time. So how did you get into skiing? When did they put you on skis for the first time?
Yeah, so my grandfather was my ski instructor. He actually taught a lot of my coaches how to ski. Wes Deist was his name. They actually have a race named after him at good old Kelly Canyon down in Idaho Falls. And they put me on skis when I was about 2 and enticed me with Jolly Ranchers and hot tamales to get me through the day. I wasn't that stoked on skiing when I was younger. It was like more about the candy, but I'm glad that they got the candy involved because I'm a full-blown ski addict now every season. I was saying this to some of my friends earlier. I'm like, I am more hyped on skiing than I've ever been in my whole life. Every day I go out, it's just the best thing ever.
Well, I think your life and the trajectory of it, you're skiing and going to school growing up, you go to college, but when you get out of school, am I going to get a job? No, I'm going to become a skier. It should be the best time of your ski career because really all you have to do is ski, right?
Yeah. Well, it's turning into a little bit more than that these days. I feel like I'm becoming like more of an influencer, I guess you could call it. And it's like I've taken on this new role of becoming a producer these last few weeks, and there's a lot that goes into it. It's like constant computer work all the time. So finding that balance.
And that's totally part of it. A lot of people don't see that on the pro ski side, but there is a lot of computer work. You have to constantly deal with sponsors. You have to put out content. You have to market yourself, and you have to make yourself bigger than you are for those sponsors to want to support you.
Yeah.
But before there were all these sponsors, you were ski racing in Sun Valley at one point too. And when did you start ski racing?
From the age of two, I was ski racing.
You were racing at two?
Yep. We made the cover of the paper. I was in this little racer chaser. My mom was holding me and we did a race together, the Kinder Cup, and ended up winning that one, you know, put that badge on the wall for many to come. But then I went on, raced all the way through high school, went Junior Olympics, all of that. Every single day was on the hill, training, racing. And then I took a year off, went to school on the East Coast. I had a scholarship for sailing. Thought I wanted to be a sailor.
That's one of those scholarships that you get from being part of the DuPont family, I would think, growing up and sailing.
We were really fortunate to grow up to like spend our summers on the East Coast and sailing 3 months out of the year, just being on the ocean. And yeah, it's a pretty drastic difference between my parents' upbringings. Like my mom being this Idaho Falls skier chick, working for every cent. And then my dad coming from this huge chemical company on the East Coast. And he kind of like abandoned that and moved out west to raise me and my two sisters. Saw my mom do a backflip on skis and fell in love and never looked back. But yeah, was a sailor, like the full yachty, yuppie experience of the East Coast was our summers for a long time.
So did you go to the Cape in the summer?
Yeah, to the Cape. Oh, Cape Cod. I think you have to say it with some kind of schmoozy accent, like Cape Codding.
To me, it's, I guess it's a different world, and you were born into it. Your dad coming from the DuPont side of the world, and I think that's a $15 billion brand. So it's huge, and it's probably split between thousands of cousins. And is your family still involved with any DuPont business?
No, actually not. My grandfather was, but the DuPont family is out of the company completely. It's like public, and we sold it a long time ago. My grandfather did work for the factory, and I think like growing up in Idaho and just in this like pretty humble upbringing and in Sun Valley, like we were just taught from a young age to like work hard on our own, and like we didn't really have the influence of the DuPont family, like as if my cousins who were born on the East Coast, you know?
Yeah.
And so for a while, like I'd had this stigma of this last name, and I like was kind of embarrassed by it and didn't want anyone to know. And it wasn't until recently, like literally the last year or so, that I've really owned that last name and used it in a way to kind of go against those principles. DuPont Company did some really terrible stuff to the environment. But I think by having that last name, I'm in a position of power to like show people that even if you're brought up with that name or those influences, you can still make choices for yourself to better the world instead of taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and I will say that from the first time I met you, you always had a level head, and I wouldn't know that you were of DuPont lineage until I read your last name, which is a tribute, I guess, to your parents and where you grew up.
Oh, totally. Mountain girls. Mountain girls in Idaho.
But that upbringing does create a ton of opportunities. And I remember we had one conversation when I first met you. You were telling me about a trip that you had went on where you were helping girls who were being kidnapped. And it was an emotional and a life-changing thing. And I think you went over...
Cambodia.
Yeah, and you were young when you went over there, I believe.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, my parents really fostered this upbringing of traveling and giving back. And so growing up, I had these awesome opportunities to travel, but we were encouraged to volunteer. And so when I was like a senior in high school, I traveled to Cambodia and spent 6 weeks working with street kids and helping pull these young girls out of massage parlors and brothels. And they were maybe a year younger than me. Some of them are my age. So that was a pretty big slap in the face of the reality of what a lot of people live with around the world. And then my younger sister and I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa as a fundraiser for this orphanage called Kilimanjaro Kids Care and the Make a Difference Foundation. And so that just inspired me at a young age to keep giving back. I found that that was the best use of my time and where I felt my love and efforts were most valued. I kind of took a break from that for a while and was skiing consistently. And then last year was like, we should tap back into that. Now that I've created this platform and this name for myself and this brand around Lexi DuPont, how can we give back? How can I use that to better the world? So we went to Kyrgyzstan last year and spent a month living with a Muslim family and teaching this community how to ski. And now with all the like political bullshit that's happening back in the States, it's a better time than ever before to stand up and use our voice to give love and educate ourselves, you know, on what's happening out there.
How old were you when you did that stuff? Like 18?
Yeah, 18.
Heavy stuff for an 18-year-old to experience.
Totally.
But then you get back to the U.S. and back into your own life, and you finish University of Colorado. You're on the freestyle ski team there. And any memorable stories in college that you should share? Because I know you have a lot of fun nights. Were there any ones that really stick out more than any others?
Oh, gosh. Fun nights in college that stick out. Maybe when I turned 21, I like lived right on the hill in Boulder at the University of Colorado, in between the Sink and the Goose, which are like the two biggest bars in Colorado.
Okay.
And I just remember on my 21st birthday, like getting kicked out of the bar multiple times for being so persistent that I had to make my friends drinks and that I knew how to make like a better drink than everyone, and like trying to crawl behind the bar to make cocktails for everyone. I think my third try after getting kicked out, they finally let me make one of the cocktails for all of my friends, which was like, I don't know how I kept getting back into that bar after being kicked out so many times, but sneaky, sneaky devil.
So not the craziest story, but I'm sure we'll get to more later.
Yeah, no, there's some more. Maybe you got to warm it up.
Slow and easy wins the race. So after college, University of Colorado, is that when you joined the Free Ride World Tour?
Actually, no. As soon as I transferred from the East Coast on that sailing team, I joined the Free Ride World Tour. So I was like a sophomore in college.
Okay.
And so I competed. I did like the first year. I went to school and was trying to compete at the same time.
Okay.
I was missing so much class that I was just failing all of my courses. And so the next season, I just went to school in the summer and took the whole winter off and traveled around doing the Free Ride World Tour. So it took me like 6 years to graduate college because I was only going for like a semester, but I did it.
And you were able to compete while you were in school and take some time off and enjoy some amazing trips at that time, too.
Oh, yeah.
And in the Free Ride World Tour, was it the Revy qualifier that you got first?
Yeah, I won the Revy qualifier. I also, like, my first contest was the Telluride contest. And I remember podiuming there, like, my first time. And it's like, this is pretty sweet. I never won any ski races. Now I'm on a podium. I like this sport. Let's check it out. And then just dove in head first and went for it. So competed on the Free Ride World Tour for like 4 years, I think, and then was asked to ski with Warren Miller and then Poor Boys after that. And so the contest kind of faded into the background as filming took over. I just really enjoy skiing fresh pow instead of hard concrete wind puffs contest venues, which is like makes you such a good skier. And I give so much credit to all of those kids hucking their meat onto the hard pack, but can only do it for so long.
Yeah, it's interesting. Powder just put out an article saying, is the Free Ride World Tour still relevant? And to me, some of the best skiers in the world are on the Free Ride World Tour. But once they get to a point when they're able to film, they immediately leave and go to the film world. It sounds like that happened to you as well. Was there ever any thought of going back and competing on the Free Ride World Tour again? Or are you like, that is behind me?
Well, the other day, I ran into a bunch of contest skiers up here that were doing the Revelstoke contest. And I was like, oh my God, so much fun. Like, I remember those days. And there's definitely a part of me that misses it. But then you hear about the conditions and people getting hurt. And you're like, why are you doing that to yourself? The nerves alone used to just eat away at me. But right now, I'm actually on the Revelstoke team for this X Games Real Mountain. So there's little contests here and there. Like, I did Red Bull Cold Rush last year. And those specialty contests are definitely attractive. And I enjoy doing those. But as far as like Free Ride World Tour goes, yeah, that's in the past.
Cool. So tell us a little more about the X Games thing that you're doing. Who's on your team and what's that all about?
We actually have a meeting tonight. The edit's due on April 1st. And it's kind of like the X Games Real Ski, but instead they're doing a bunch of different resorts competing against each other. And there has to be a core of three athletes, a snowboarder, a skier, and a female. And then you can have anyone join after that. And it's like a 90-second video, I think. And so on my team, it's me and Sammy Carlson and this local shredder snowboarder, Seb. He's French-Canadian and knows all the secret zones, so we're really lucky to have him. But yeah, Revelstoke is like a pretty rad venue to do this contest for.
Yeah, and if you're on a team with Sammy, you're on a pretty stacked team. He had an incredible year last year, and nobody works harder than him. So it should be amazing to see what you guys put together.
Yep.
In terms of getting sponsors, I know you got K2 was one of your sponsors, and we worked together when you were with K2. One thing that I will attribute to the DuPonts is the first year you're on K2, do you remember not cashing your first check?
No.
Well, you didn't.
Did I not?
You didn't. It wasn't for much, but you didn't cash it, and I would get calls from AP on a weekly basis. Lexi has not cashed your check. I think I would email you, hey, Lexi, you haven't cashed your check. Chalk that up to the DuPonts. No big deal. More money goes into the ski program. Thank you.
Shit.
Yeah.
I think that also just goes to the lack of organization of like a 19-year-old Lexi just like trying to figure it out.
Could be part of that as well. So what other sponsors were you able to pick up? Was K2 the first sponsor that you had?
Smith was in Sun Valley for the longest time, born and raised there. And so I was riding with them, I think, before K2.
Okay.
But now, yeah, Eddie Bauer was one of their first athletes to sign with them. Right around the time I signed with K2 when I was like 19. And so, yeah, that relationship has been super solid and continues to grow. And then just recently signed with a sports agency, RXR Sports Agency, which have opened a lot of doors to some non-endemic opportunities, which has been pretty inspiring. Seeing that what we do on the mountains, if you put it in the eyes of the ski community over and over again, they're like, oh, I've seen that, I've seen that. And then you put it in front of someone that's never seen or experienced that, it's mind-blowing for them. And I think that's where like the change lies, is by showing these inner city people this natural environment that we get to explore and adventure every single day. And you show that to them and their mind is blown for that quick moment, that video or that write-up or story. And then they want to get out there. Like, it might encourage them to want to go ski or to travel to those places or to just learn, educate themselves about the environment and its beauty, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm so frustrated these days with Trump and knowing that we have a voice and we are influencers. Like, how can we make that next step to like influence people to do better and to love the environment, love themselves, care about things other than just the bank and the money?
Yeah, it's a tough challenge right there, because in certain situations, I know, like mine included, the money is something that people think about a bunch. The money part of it is one thing, but global warming is happening, and it doesn't matter what web pages are deleted from the White House site. It is still happening, whether you can read it on the internet or not. But let's not talk about global warming, because I've been reading about it all day, I feel like. But we'll talk about something really positive. And one of the most positive things that I think has happened in skiing is the Pretty Faces movie that happened a couple years back. And it was an all-female production, and it really just highlighted having fun and great skiing. And it wasn't like, hey, this is going to be a full-on girls thing, even though it was. It was a ski movie that if you looked, you might see ponytails. What was it like putting together that movie?
Yeah, so I went on a couple trips with Lindsay. Lindsay's been a big role model of mine. She was my babysitter growing up, and she's a Sun Valley local and was just this beautiful, inspirational girl that had made skiing her life and was able to do what she was dreaming of. And so her coming from Sun Valley and always having that name and that image, knowing her personally, I was really connected to her. So when she approached me and asked me to be in the Pretty Faces film, I was like, yeah, like this is amazing. Let's do it. So I went on a couple trips with her. We did some Powder Highway stops up in Canada, and then watching from the outside how much work she put into it and what it takes to make a film, and talking to Leanne Pelosi recently about their Full Moon video and what it actually means to make your own film. It's a lot of work. And then like being a female, like everyone's going to doubt you. You know, they're just like immediately like they put you in a box, in a category, like this is going to be a certain way because it's a girl's film. And I think that Pretty Faces and Full Moon kind of broke down those barriers, which was really great to see and see how well received they both were.
So they definitely broke down the barriers. But what's next? I feel like it's one movie, one season, and then everybody does forget. So how does the momentum of a movie like Pretty Faces continue?
Yeah, I think that we have to do another one. And I've talked to Lindsay, and I know that she has some inspiration to possibly do that. But I think so many people do it on a basis of self-promotion, or they want to do it so independently and on their own to like prove that they can do it. And I think that the future is collaboration and creating a conscious community where we can all build one together, even if it is like skiing and snowboarding together. Our world as skiers and snowboarders, we're so small, and a lot of people don't even know we exist. And so it's important to collaborate as much as possible and not just do a one and done thing. Maybe it is like a 5 or 10 year plan.
It's a video series where there's a new movie coming out every year that's featuring both. That takes a lot of money, a lot of funding, and a lot of belief by sponsors. And I put that on the shoulders of the athletes and the movie makers to go out and get that funding to make it happen.
I mean, that's the biggest struggle, is just finding the dollars to make these things happen. And for so many years, the ski industry has been stripped clean and they haven't been selling skis. It's just, there's not much money within the ski industry. So finding the opportunities outside of it, that's where the future lies.
Yeah, it is definitely outside the industry. And I think when you look at the industry as a whole, a lot of the ski industry is made up of public companies now. So a lot of the money that skiing is making isn't going back into skiing, which doesn't help grow the sport, which is part of the problem. But hopefully that'll change in the years to come and there'll be more money to create amazing movie projects.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at you personally, when I look at your career and I look at it on the internet right now, and one thing I notice right away, I go to your website, LexiDupont.com, and you have a website that's better than most brands out there.
Thank you.
And what goes into developing a website like that? It is really phenomenal. I was blown away.
Thanks. Well, I luckily have a PR agency that I work with through Eddie Bauer that had a special team put my website together for me. A lot of that is just keeping track of things. When you get publications or write-ups or logging it, I have this little folder on my desktop where I just keep everything in there. And then at the end of each year, I send it to the web designer and they put more into it. It's so funny too, like sometimes you'll be published in magazines and you'll have no idea. I think 80% of the time I'll have no idea and I'll just get like a snap from one of my friends. Hey, I saw you in this magazine, and you're like, what? Awesome. Like, I had no clue. Thanks for that.
Right.
I have a really solid team right now that is outside of the ski industry that's helping me get media with the likes of Rolling Stone and Self and Shape and all of these other things that I've always dreamed about but never thought quite possible.
Right.
But contacts are everything. If you meet that one person on the chair that's like, oh, I started this business, that personal relationship right there could change your entire career.
For sure. And I think in terms of contacts, you're able to make a lot of contacts. I've talked to you about a cruise that you went on, and it seemed like it was a meeting of the minds where it was some of the smartest people in the world. And tell us about that trip and what it was all about.
Yeah, I think it pays to be a people person and engage in conversations with people. So yeah, I was asked to be a part of this community. They're called the Summit Series. It's an invite-only group of people that they bring together. It's like a giant think tank. And I've done the summit at Sea Cruise. They also host events at Powder Mountain where they get some of the greatest minds of our time and athletes and philosophers and civil rights activists and people from all walks of life together to collaborate to create projects and change and companies. And yeah, I feel super honored to be a part of that community. It's definitely the most inspirational group of people I've ever met and has completely kickstarted my career into a whole nother direction of wanting to use my voice for social change and climate change. How can skiing be a vehicle for this larger picture? You know, everyone from like Richard Branson's on the ship to Martha Stewart and Thievery Corporation's playing music. And you're just like cruising down the hall. And because you're on the boat, everyone's guards down. Like they want to know just as much about you as you want to know about them. So like these conversations are just happening in all corners of the ship. And it's like 48 hours and you get off, your head's spinning and you've got 100 note cards in your pocket and you're just ready to take on the world. It's pretty rad.
I'm not going to ask you about the challenges for a woman in skiing. I've asked that a bunch of times, but I am going to ask you, what's the most inappropriate thing that someone has done to you within the ski industry where you're like, are you kidding? You're that big of an asshole?
Within the ski industry or like social media bullying?
No, because social media bullying is a bunch of people don't have any self-confidence. And
right.
I look at it when it's people in the ski industry, it's people that are doing it to you face to face, where it's someone that you might have respected at one point, and then you're just like, are you kidding me? You're that person?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say any names.
Oh, come on. They disrespected you.
But I'm not one of those people. Such a small community. If I say their name, then they're going to know that I'm talking shit about them with Mike Powell on his podcast.
No, only like 4 people will hear it. Don't even worry about it.
But disrespect, I think I've had people tell me like the only way you've made it so far in skiing is because you're DuPont and you can pay for your own heli time and you've just paid your way to get this far. And that just really strikes a chord with me because it's one, yeah, I might have this fancy last name, but you don't know anything about me or where I came from or how hard I had to work to get to this point. And honestly, like, I just have this on and off switch when people say that or have these disbeliefs in their head about who I am and where I come from. I just turn this off switch off. Goodbye. Like, don't let that touch me. But I know that there is a lot of that going on behind the scenes. And people are like, oh, I don't care what they say about you. You're pretty cool. And I'm like, well, what are they saying about me? Yeah, you're Lexi DuPont. You've paid your way to become the pro skier that you are. And you know what? This is the sick reality that I'm living right now. I made for myself. And that comes from a line of choices every single day to pursue happiness and fun, no matter what. And now I've gotten to a point where I've built this brand and this platform, and I'm able to now give back to the sport that's given me so much and inspire other people that may not have the opportunity to ski to be able to. But yeah, I think that's probably the rudest thing anyone said to me.
Yeah, and I think you probably get that throughout your entire life with everything that you do.
Oh, yeah. I remember in college, the guy at the security door coming in late night was like, oh, you're a DuPont? How does it feel to own Jeff Gordon? And I'm like, what? I almost punched him in the face, but aggression is not the answer.
So, Lexi, to finish out your sponsored interview, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? What's the next 5 years hold for Lexi DuPont?
Yeah, this fall, I recently just finished flight school. I am a student pilot, as scary as some people think that is. I will be flying through the sky above your heads. So I've got this crazy dream to redo all of my family's flights. My grandfather was the first to land a plane in Borneo. My aunts were the first to fly across America, first female team to fly across America. And my uncle was the first to fly a plane down the Amazon. So I really want to redo their flights and write a book about it. That's probably like the 10-year plan, but flying is definitely going to be all-consuming in the coming years. And then really want to speak for our planet as loudly as I can with skiing as my vehicle. Went to Standing Rock this year to protest the pipeline, and just seeing that initiation of war on water really sparked this huge amount of energy in me to speak for those people.
Didn't that all get shut down today?
What?
Didn't that whole thing get shut down today? Didn't something happen over there? Like,
oh, yeah. There's a lot of shit happening today. I'm like trying to keep up on it, but at the same time, it's so sad.
Yeah. Lexi, it's a new world that we live in, and I will look to you to lead the charge to make the world a better place.
Thanks.
There'll be a lot of people behind you. And I want to thank you for being on Sponsored.
This is an honor. Thanks, Mike. I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, the charmed life of Lexi DuPont. And we have more Lexi, a whole lot more Lexi, actually, on thepalmovement.com. You can hear her Inappropriate Questions show. Also on the Pal Movement next week, you will hear Jason Leventhal. He's done a lot of interviews before, but no interview like this. He will tell all in the way that he made his way to founding J Skis. And that is a great interview. I hope you tune in for that. As always, if you have any show feedback for me, you can reach me at mike@thepalmovement.com or on Twitter at Pal Movement One. On behalf of Powder Radio, and I wish you all a great week. Thanks, and talk to you next week.